all to the service today. There was one verse in our Sunday school lesson that especially stood out to me as I was studying that at home this morning, and I got to looking at that point where it talks about the Son of Man, and it mentions that a number of times in the Old Testament, and then jiggled my memory that when Brother Daniel Stutzman was here a few years ago, he talked about the Son of Man, and I just was remembering a little bit of what he had said there on that, and it was really interesting to see the lofty place that was, the lofty title that had been given. And now I can't find my paper. But it's a number. There's the Son of Man, that term, as referred to Jesus, is used 30 times in the book of Matthew alone, and it's used 85 times in the New Testament. And if we look at the number of scriptures that it is, there's really a lot of it uses a wide scope. For example, he says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In our Sunday school lesson today, it says that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And those are just some two random comments, but there's more to it than that. And if we go back to the book of Daniel, we have Nebuchadnezzar's vision and also Daniel's words here that I think are very significant. In Daniel chapter 2, we have Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he is explaining this dream, and in verse verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, if we look back at Jesus' ministry, and I know that in chapters 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 16, 24, all of those chapters, it talks about Jesus as being the Son of Man. But one of the most significant ones is when he's standing before Pilate in the 26th chapter of Matthew. Now just turn to that in Matthew 26 and read a few verses there. The Jews in Jesus' time, especially the Pharisees, they didn't see Jesus as the Son of Man, although they were familiar with that phrase. And right there in their midst, they didn't realize that he was creator of both them and the Sabbath day, and they despised both in the way that they worked. But in Matthew 26 and in verse 63 and a few verses after that, this is what we have here. Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto thee, Hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. You know, they understood Daniel's prophecy probably better than what we do. If we look back at Daniel chapter 7, and this is what he saw. This is now Daniel's vision and a dream. Remember that Nebuchadnezzar saw a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And Daniel in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him a dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people and nations and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I think it's significant how Jesus referred to this exact scripture when he was on trial before Pilate. He showed his place as both God and creator in this. And I'm sure that some of those that were standing there, the Pharisees were not just normal, just the regular person of the street. They were the ones that were well-learned and educated. And so no doubt they were very familiar with this passage that Jesus pulled out of the Old Testament, and the reason that they were very offended too at the saying that Jesus had. But Jesus said, He's the Son of Man, and that is actually a higher place in Scripture than even the Son of God was as a term. The Bible refers to His children as being sons of God. And Jesus is the Son of Man, which is the Creator and also the Son of God, as we understand it as well. But Jesus came to establish a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And it's interesting to me that God uses different people to establish that testimony. And one of the most interesting ones is King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, when he was... when he had that vision, and he had the vision, and Daniel explained that to him, how that he was a great man, but God was going to humble him unless he humbled his heart, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't humble his heart. Instead, increased his vanity, and then he was destroyed and made to eat grass as a beast for a number of years, But I just have to marvel at his testimony in chapter 4 of Daniel. And toward the end of the chapter, he says, verse 34, And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And the last verse of that chapter, and this entire chapter was written by Nebuchadnezzar. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the God of heaven, all whose works are truth and whose ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. You know, there was a king that learned that in a very interesting and a very exacting way. A man that was the highest in the world about. And there he was made to eat grass as an ox and on all fours. And it says his fingernails grew long like eagle's claws. And can you imagine the dignity that was lost in his life. And yet he says he's learned this, and now he extols the God of heaven. You know, God uses sometimes interesting ways to bring about his ways in the hearts of men. Jesus, when he had his disciples around him in Matthew 16, he says, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave several answers. Elias was one. But then he said, but who say ye that I am? And that's when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this morning, that's the one that we want to praise and worship and honor and live for and allow our life to be directed by, is that Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we pause before you, we want to thank you for your mercies on us again this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the confidence that we can have that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and that as we serve you, that we will be a part of that kingdom through the blood of Christ. We pray that you might help us to see clearly the things of time and eternity and to choose your ways in all that we do. Bless thy word as it brought to us further. Open our hearts that we might bring forth the fruit that you intend. We ask it in your name. Amen.